Verse 16. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who should hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested. God hath showed it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was dark. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. The birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave us uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. 16 through 24, first chapter of the book of Romans. Our Father, this morning, we thank you for what you've done already. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray, O Father, that you'll move in our midst today. Touch every soul that comes on these grounds. There be a touch of thy Spirit in each one of their hearts. We pray, O Father, that each home and each church that is represented shall be strangely blessed and moved upon in these hours. Oh God, how we plead in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit shall do his work unhindered. Pray that he shall search us out, point out anything that's wrong with any of us, and help us to clarify. And then, our Father, we pray for those who couldn't be here, some are on their way trying to get here. We pray that you protect them today, those that are coming tonight. We pray that you protect them over their travels. Oh God, how we pray now that you'll bless to Mrs. Cooper's, give the surgeons and physicians wisdom, the nurses skill. Now, Father, give Brother Clarence and his son faith and stability in this hour. We're conscious that they are in need of help while they anxiously wait. Now we pray that you'll take care of the little girl. Now, Father, you'll take care of them in such a way that you'll get the glory. We feel like you're going to do it, and we thank you for it. And our Father, we pray for Clara this morning, that you'll put strength back in her body, heal her body. She's played so much a part in getting things ready for this camp, and reservations all fixed up, and she's needed tomorrow, you know that. We pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that you'll touch her, and give her renewed strength, raise her up from her weakness, give her that which she needs. Then, our Father, we pray for Brother Miller today, that the blessings of God will be upon him and strengthen him. We pray for others of our number that might be sick. Pray that you'll bless them. And we pray that the power of God shall have first place throughout this week. Take thy servant now, loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give us holy unction. Help us to glorify you in all we do. And we'll be grateful to you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Which I read to you a moment ago. We find these words in the first verse of the book of first chapter of Romans. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. For professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, when you get to thinking you know more than God knows, that you have rights where God has nothing to do with you, you've turned out to be a fool. I want to talk to you this morning. Unthankful, unappreciative for God. There's a text we're going to take, Hebrews 12 chapter, 16th verse. Lest there be any fornicated or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Conscious of the birthright that he had through Christ. Conscious of the privilege he had through God, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to save him. Conscious of the extreme price that God paid for redemption. So unthankful, so ungrateful, so unappreciative, that he sells all of that for a mess of pockets to gratify his own carcass. You say, well, that's stupid, is it? And so many times people sell for less to satisfy their carcass. Unappreciated, unthankful for God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's where we've come to in America today. We're willing to share our privileges and our opportunities and our birthrights for some measure's sake, because we've ceased to be grateful to God for giving it to us, because we've ceased to appreciate the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the price that God has paid for us. We go about selling out for things that gratifies our carcass, our bodies, our flesh, rather than being grateful and appreciative, sensitive to the spiritual things that God has provided for us through sending his Son to save us, sending his Holy Ghost to teach us and to guide us and to lead us. When we decide we want to do something, we ignore and don't consider the leadership of the Holy Spirit at all. We consider not what it's going to do to the Christ that saved us. If it's going to satisfy me, what of it? Why worry about what it does to the cause of Christ? Why worry about what God might think if it's going to satisfy me? When people become foolish and unthankful and ungrateful and unappreciative, there's three things that take place. Selfishness gets people with the wrong crowd. It's selfishness that gets you with the wrong crowd. Your self-desires, self-ambitions, fleshly lust of the eye and of the flesh gets you with the wrong crowd. We stop to realize, my friends, it was selfishness that got Lot with the wrong crowd and got his family with the wrong crowd. When he looked and saw the plains of Jordan well watered and a lot of grass for them, his cattle graze and plenty of water. Selfishness caused him to move all of his heaven and his family to the wrong crowd. Selfishness causes many Baptists to move in with the wrong crowd. Gets you with the wrong bunch. Selfishness, in other words, caused Jacob to go over and live with his uncle Laban, go with his kinfolks, rather than to do the thing that God had called upon him to do. And yet Jacob had a marvelous experience. He had the angels to descend up and down a ladder that reached from heaven to earth and visit him. And he had the privilege of seeing God stand at the top of the ladder and hear him talk to him. Yet selfishness put Laban, Jacob, over with his uncle. Got him away from God. Not only that, but selfishness got the people away from the great leader, Moses. Turned to Aaron. Got them away from the great experiences of God to that of gold calves. Selfishness, if you please, caused Naomi to go with their daughter-in-laws, move out of the country that God had blessed her in, to be with them rather than to be with God. Selfishness, God's not to be considered. God's business was not considered. They were not thankful. They knew God. They were not thankful. The things that God is doing for them and showing them. Esau had a right to the birthright, and yet he was not thankful that he had that birthright privilege. Many people have a right to the birthright to many things that are spiritual and powerful and important. For selfish reasons, they leave those God-given birthrights to satisfy their own desires of their own flesh and life. I've seen so many preachers to satisfy the lust of their own flesh leave the calling of God. I've seen so many deacons and teachers and leaders in church to satisfy their selves. Their flesh leave the anointing privilege that they had with God. Unthankful, unappreciative, ungrateful is the thing that gets us there. Puts us with the wrong crowd. Selfishness gets us with the wrong crowd. And we stop to realize people in Noah's day didn't want to hear God's preaching. They was having too good a time. They were not thankful that they had a preacher to tell them it's going to rain and a flood was coming to drown them. They didn't appreciate it. They weren't grateful that God had honored them by giving them a preacher to warn them of the flood of the judgment of God. They weren't thankful. They acted fools. Made light of it. Ignore it. Because they wanted to go on in their own selfish motives. We stop to realize so many people today, because of selfish reasons, has ceased to be thankful to God, appreciative of God. Let me do my own thing. Let me live like I want to live. Don't bother me. Preacher, keep your mouth shut. God, don't look my way and let me run it. As a result of it, my brother, sister, they've ceased to be thankful. They became vain in their imagination. Listen, when you get it in your head and mind that you can live and sin and get by God on it, you have become vain in your imaginations. You can't do it. God has never sanctioned and approved sin. God will never sanction sin and approve of sin. And you need not expect him to do it. So as a result, we find, my friends, go all the way down through the Bible, when people get away from God in selfishness, they got away from God. Something gets selfish about something. Just like Esau. He is so selfish over that mess of pottage, he's willing to sell his birthright. We got a lot of Baptists this morning. So selfish, they're willing to sell their blessings of God for some mess of sin out there. And as we face it, one of our number one problems among Baptists today is the fact we've grown to the place where the television media so brainwashed America until nothing's wrong anymore. Everybody do his own thing. It's all right. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else doing something doesn't right it with God. You let me tell you something. Everybody's opinion against God doesn't change what God said. No difference what your opinion is. Make no difference what your thought about it is. If God's is not changed, they're justified. But selfishness has so encompassed this country this morning that as a result, she's staggering under the influence of dope and liquor and sex perversion. She's staggering this morning. Back of all of your sex perversion is selfishness. Back of all your dope is selfishness. Back of all of your drunkenness is selfishness. Ungrateful to God. Unappreciative of God. They become vain in their imaginations if they can serve sin among men and get by with it. But that's our problem now. Leave us alone if we want to dope. Leave us alone if we want to drink. Leave us alone if we want to sex. And my brother and sister, a lot of our political leaders and a lot of our preachers have got so wrapped up in the morality business and teaching against abortion, and I'm more against abortion proper than they are. Our problem is not abortion. Our problem is what's bringing on abortions. Sexual immorality. You don't hear the legislators talking in sexual immorality. You don't hear this bunch of morality preachers preaching against sexual immorality. Tell you, my friend, it's silly when you got the faucet on, water running all over the floor to grab a mop and start mopping up. Yeah. Way to do is to cut the water off before you start mopping. And we're running around, my friends, everybody hollering and worked up about abortion, and I'm against it. But the problem is, what caused those girls to have to be aborted? I don't want to preach hellfire, the judgment and the wrath of God against sexual immorality like God taught it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You wouldn't have the problem of abortion then. That's what we need to see. Unthankful. Ungrateful. Unappreciative of the things that God has given us. God gave to America purity. God gave to America a generation of virgin women. But to satisfy their godless desires of men who are perverts, they've lost their virtues. And as a result, they're murdering millions of babies through abortion. The problem of it is they've lost their understanding of what a serious sin against God it is. He indulges the first time before the other comes. But we need to face it. Selfishness gets folks away from God. Selfish desires, lust, flesh, acting fool, thinking be such fools that they can get by God when he has an old seeing eye. Well, that's America before he was born. We've gotten away from the great principles. You hear me? I remember the day when if a man robbed a woman of her virtue, they put him in the penitentiary and electrocuted him. It ought to be now. But now that it's a joke of the community. Why? Unthankful to God's teachings. Ungrateful to God for his teachings. Ungrateful to God for what he's taught us. Acting fools. Evil men. Well, God won't do nothing. You're crazy. God will do something. He always has. He always will. He did it in Noah's day. They said, well, preacher, it ain't gonna rain. Never has rained, but it did rain. The judgment came, and it'll come again. Selfishness gets people to the wrong crowd. Then, my friends, selfishness gets them of the wrong crowd, and the wrong crowd gets you away from God, gets people away from God. When Lot moved his family down there to gain selfish gain of the water and the grass, it got him of the wrong crowd, and they influenced his family and his herd for the wrong kind of living. And as a result of it, they became participants of the sins of the Sodomites and Gomorrahites. Selfish gain put them on the wrong path. Yet, my friends, as a result of it, you always get with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd gets away from God. He quit worshiping. He left the altars of Abraham. And as a result, the judgment of God came. Judgment of God always follows sin. Always God chastens sin, brings judgment on sin, and he hasn't changed. He's not going to quit now. We stopped to recognize there he was. He left off the altars. He left off worship. We're great. We're getting wealthy. And my children, they never have had nothing. They're really living it up now. Do whatever they want to do. Go wherever they want to go. Act however they want to act. After all, they're children of age and they can make their own decisions. If I can't please. And the devil will wreck them like he pleases too. Right. We must not forget that God said the Father shall bring his children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The army that won't try to go the wrong way. I saw times when Dole Turner's boy tried to go the wrong way, but when he got through with him down the barn out behind the stable somewhere, he went away. You've seen the time when some of you tried to go the wrong way, but when Dad got through with you, you're right. But no, don't do trial with that. But we are thankful for the nurture that God demands of the father towards the children. Think of it. By the way, anything they want to do, and my old poppy locked it out to tell them, Judgment Gun's coming, they laughed at him, let him outside the gate, and said, get out of here. They lost respect for him. Why? Because, my friend, he had pitched his tent with the wrong crowd, had the wrong influence on him. Saw this chance he had to come out with plenty. Abraham built altars and worshiped God, and God said, I'll bless you and bless you in the sense, and bless those above. Lot pitched his tent with Sodomites and Gomorrahites, and God cursed them and cursed 10 generations after them. Because of it. Now there was a time my friends from the wrong crowd got the people away from God. For example, while Moses is up in the mountains praying, his associate, Aaron, listened to the people and said, well, Moses must be dead about it. He ain't coming back. After all, Moses too strict. He's too fanatical. He's too narrow. Come on. Let's have us a time. And they all brought the gold and pitched in the fire and a gold calf come out. And they stripped off naked and went to dancing and a prancing. Here comes Moses back. And there's trouble down there. There they were naked and a dancing and a singing. Around the gold calf. Because the associate leader had led the people and forgot God. Unthankful to God. Now a lot of people think, well, the old preacher is too old timing. He's a backwoods numbered. So we can go out and strip off naked and run to these swimming pools around here and waddle like a bunch of old sows and get by. Walking down the street as naked as it can get. Old preacher ain't preaching against you, but why do we care who's he? It ain't preacher ain't God Almighty that called preachers to put you against your naked sins.
Yeah, go ahead.
True. You ain't knowing what God called. He said, uncover. You're about to uncover your nakedness. Right. You around and run around in your shorts and hollers. All in the world you're doing is showing how sexy you are. God sent you to show how godly you are, and you showing how sexy you are. And appealing to that old sexual bird that looks on you and lusts at you, he commits another with you, and you guilty of a lot of God has been committed to you.
Yeah, true.
But oh, come on, let's get us somebody to side with us and build us a gold cabin and we'll sang it back. The old preacher's too old, black numbered in here. Dance yourself off in the judgment of God's where you were danced to, honey.
That's true.
Where you wind up at. But that's where we've come in America, my friend. We got away from the old paths of godliness and righteousness and decency. We're on temple that God taught us how to protect our womanhood and the manhood of America. So we're no longer grateful for those things. We got with the crowd that said, come on, get naked. Come on and dance with us. Come on and sing with us. Well, ain't but a few of these old preachers left that preach against it in here. And they're bad numbers. They're out of time. They're screwed up. They don't much matter. That's what they thought in Noah's day. That's what the devil said in the Mars did. But when God got through, they found a different story coming. And when the judgment of God got, he that eateth
can drink of thy word. Peter can drink of damnation to himself, not his soul. And I want you to know, when you count your privilege with Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, the bride of Christ, the part of the church, and you don't love her enough to live right and respect it, I want you to know you've done unworthily, and you're headed for the judgment of God. God said, I'll make you sick, and I'll put you in premature graves. That's what he said. And he ain't gonna lie to say my hide or yours either. Oh, thank God. Don't consider the birthright. God saved you. God shed his blood for you. God put a covering over your body of sin. You ought to keep a covering over your body physically to respect God. To honor God.
Amen.
We need to face it this morning. We're living in a naked, sex perverted, sex displaying world. I'm thankful to God for dignity and godliness and holiness. God, with the wrong crowd, and the wrong crowd's influence you away from godliness and righteous living.
Desecration of God's day. Living with the world. Hanging in the joints of the world. Going back to the cucumber, onion, and garlic you left. Face the truth. Away from God. Got over with his uncle Laban.
Jacob got away from God.
God whipped the thigh. When he did, he said to his family, Jacob did, give up the strange gods. We're going back another. I've had enough. And he said, change your garments. Get out of your worldly garments and put on garments that dignify God, glorify God, honor God.
Back to Bethel! Lay off the worldly garments and put on godly garments and rush head back to Bethel. The world's trying to undress before God and before their fellow man. Defy God and defy Jesus and defy godliness. And my brother, sister, as we face it today, we need to recognize one thing. It's got away from God.
Look at it.
I'm thankful that you know right from wrong. I'm thankful you know what's right. After all, when God saved you and set you in the church, and you took the oath and the vows and sealed them, then you're obligated to honor the church, not society. Hey! You took your stand with the church and with God's people, and you said you love the church and you yourself for it. That means you broke fellowship and love for the world, and you're going to live for the church and for the Lord
instead of living with that bunch of little worms out there running, snorting around. Dancing around their gold cash and running naked with the rest of them. Face it. Gotten away from God.
Because we cease to be thankful, we become fools. We've got to the place where we think God isn't serious anymore. God's a joke. God's funny. God don't mean what he says anymore.
We can hear like me. Do that. Please or not please. Never went over with her daughter-in-laws, played around with them, buried her husband, buried two sons. She woke up the fact, I can't live, but God's still here then. I got to go back.
And there's some folks going to wake up that you can't live for God
and live with certain people. Yeah. And the manners of certain people. You're going to have to get back on God's side one or the other. Don't there be some funerals down the road? They're coming. And when God starts, ain't nothing you can do. You can't stay God's hand and pray it off. When the judgment of God starts. Old Jacob said, I don't want the other leg withered. I'm ready to go back to that one.
come on, family, give up the strange gods. Some of the strangest gods we've got hold of, that we think more of than we think of God. And as Baptist people, they think a lot more of some things than they do of God. They'd rather give up God than give up a few of the things they're fooling with. Got away from it. We stopped the facing. It's loaded with the wrong crowd, the wrong crowd's got away from God. And I want you to realize, my friends, some of the strangest things is taking place in a lot of lives. Why? Wrong crowd! Selfishness, gentlemen. Wrong crowd! Got away from God. Any one of them. But the next saying, you'd never get with the wrong crowd, regardless of how come you get with them. Get away from God, said, God, don't bring me back. He said to Jacob, I'll bring me back! The judgment of God is as sure as this church out this morning. Now, the devil may have you hoodwinked and believing that the judgment of God won't ever come.
You say, well, Mr. Ray, it hasn't come.
Now, don't have to get no hurry. You're not going anywhere you won't be when he gets ready. It will come. Or he's lied one. And he never will lie to say my hi to yours either. Judgment bring you back. It brought Lot back with him, brought him back in a crippled condition. It brought Jacob back with him, brought him back in a crippled condition. He brought Naomi back with him, brought her back in a pitiful condition. He burned Joab's body! Joab came back, but his body burned up. He brought back the children of Israel. But a lot of them were slaughtered over that fence around the calf. More and more out Baptists are playing, wanting everybody to sing. Something appealed to the heels instead of the heart. The associates of our Baptist churches are trying to put in all kind of athletics and all kind of entertainment and get the people. What have you got when you get that crap? That crap you get like that, don't love God, don't love a church. Oh, yes, we do. All right, let them have a ball game. The prayer meeting tomorrow and see which one they're in. Yeah. You're welcome, man. Help yourself. A day when you have to have certain kind of sins, a certain kind of entertainment to get a crowd, you ain't got nothing when you get them.
Amen. Exactly right.
But a bunch of hoodlums and wreck your church a little later on when they get the authority.
That's true.
God help us to see it. Dancing to the golden calves and a bunch of associates that come in. And a lot of young preachers and older preachers for that are getting discouraged. Because they're telling if you don't get great crowds in, your ministry's failure. That's a lie. Jesus said, where are two or three gathered together? I'm there. He didn't say where all the crowds gather, he'd be there. Let's face reality. Who's qualifying what's a crowd with God? Away from God. Selfishness gets us from the wrong element, the wrong question. Then that crowd gets us away. We've got no spirituality. All they want is entertainment, hoop up and excitement, and all kind of stuff. Then it bursts out in the community. And they live for entertainment out there, not for God. Get them to prayer meeting if you can. No, they can't go to prayer meeting. They've got to do other things. The Lord's not that. God always sends judgment to bring them back. You hear this, Baptist preacher, this one. When God starts judgment, he never considers the cause, not the trouble. When he got ready to bring old Jonah back, first, did him right well, he went to the trouble of building a fish, a miracle fish. One big enough to swallow a man and not digest him after getting swallowed. He hadn't been that 3 days. He didn't suffocate. He had a bit out. No fish in my winter. But the scripture says, I built the fish. Yeah. And fix it up for him. And said, go get old Jonah. I'm going to point over to you.
No fishing.
Where he went. And he sat around down there 3 days. Crawled around on his knees, Papa. But in the meantime, look at something else. God sent a storm to give him the fish. Those commercial men had an unloaded load of baggage. Don't tell how many $100,000 they lost in that thing. But God didn't count the loss of the professor, the business people, the commercial people. He didn't count the trouble of having to build a special fish just so he got old Jonah where he was. And he didn't quit! Got Jonah where he needed. And when they got out, how he didn't build all the gold calves and have a bunch of hip hop singing and they're jumping around. Right. Thought that they had a friend. King said, boy, come on, let's get sacked off in ashes. God means business. And they got out on their faces, poured sacked off in ashes on it and waited till God heard them. See what I'm talking about? Judgment of God came. I want you to know, when God starts with His judgment, when God starts His damnation for you not having drink worthy and eat worthy of the blood of the Lamb of God, I want you to know one thing, God will go in and expense. He don't care how much a funeral costs, a hospital bill costs. He don't care the loss of a house. He don't care the loss of a job. He don't care what you've lost. God's going to bring you to your knees or me to my knees.
Right.
When he gets ready, he'll start about running with the crowd because of selfishness, taking up their ways instead of God's way. He don't mind what it cost. When he got through, Jonah was ready to go.
Amen.
When he got through, Lot gave up all that stuff he sold out for. He's ready. I want you to know something. When he got through with Naomi, she's ready to go back to the country God had for her. When he got through, the children of Israel is ready to listen to old Moses instead of some little associate that let her dance around the gold calf and sing your song. Don't forget. And on you go through the Bible. But just remember this. Anytime you get so selfish, you don't consider God in your planning. You don't consider God in your living. Selfishness gets you to where you just don't think about God or worry about God. You're going to get with a certain crowd and live a certain crowd's way. You don't care what God preaches and teaches. You don't care what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
When you get there, he'll let you go. And then he'll let you take up their ways of life. But remember, my friend, comes one more. The third step is God gets back. Regardless of the cost. Matter of course, of the trouble. When God gets ready, He'll have you back.
That's the truth. Amen.
Let's stand.
Brother Ray.